Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the introduction to a series of tapes which I felt impressed this morning to call God's Plan for Healing Marriage in the Seventh Millennium. This series of tapes started life about 7 years ago when faced with the absolute grief and hurt and anger and bitterness of three Christian women who had been abandoned by their husbands and confronted with the reality that in excess of 60% of all Christian marriages were ending in divorce. I cried out to God and said, why? As an engineer and an analyst, that by implication meant that I was asking God how to fix it. And in the years that followed since that day early in 1995, God has taken me on the most amazing roller coaster ride to open my eyes to see what is going on in the spiritual realm. And as he did that, he took me halfway around the world to meet with people, to buy obscure books in obscure bookshops. He spoke to me through teachings of servants of his of this age and previous ages. He led me to university libraries. And he spoke to me through his word. He opened my eyes to his word in ways that frequently challenged me enormously. In the process, he also took me into contact with people who could not accept and could not believe what God was showing me. He showed me the magnitude of the manner in which Satan has gone about bringing the church to a place where 60 to 70% of all Christian marriages end in divorce, and even high-profile international church leaders think it's acceptable for them to get divorced, or alternatively think that their marriage is beyond being saved. And in all of this, God has progressively opened my eyes to give me the most wonderful picture and most wonderful vision of how he intended marriage to be. The Lord God intended marriage to be heaven on earth. He intended it to be a prophetic statement of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us marriage in order to understand how we should relate to him and relate to Jesus. It is the most fabulous and most awesome picture, but it is a picture that is hardly understood in the body of Christ today. And it is a great privilege to me to bring to you this series of teachings, which by the time you have completed listening to these tapes, I truly believe will have given you a vision of heaven on earth in marriage. And in the process, as an engineer seeking an answer, he has given me, I believe, in this set of tapes, solutions to every problem that I have encountered in terms of marital relations not working, the things that give rise to divorce. And so in this series of tapes you will find solutions to any marriage that is not working. To the extent that I say to you, with deep conviction, as I open the presentation of this series of teachings, that God is able and willing to make your marriage work. He is able to heal and deliver any marriage where that marriage is according to the Word of God. I'm not talking about situations of adultery and deception, but God is able to heal any marriage and make that marriage heaven on earth if husband and wife will go before him in faith and trust him and put into practice that which is contained in these teachings. I go so far as to say that even if a Christian is married to an unbeliever, if you diligently apply what is contained in these teachings, your marriage will become wonderful, and there is a strong possibility that you will bring your spouse to salvation. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that many of the principles contained in this series of teachings will even bring about a situation where a marriage between unbelievers will improve dramatically if they will receive the truths that are contained. And in this whole journey, in this process of being constantly confronted with truths in the Word of God, which were deeply hidden and are deeply hidden from the body of Christ at large, I found myself regularly being challenged. Early on in the process, I cried out. After I'd cried out to God, I started to get an answer by His Spirit, which completely confounded everything that I had believed the Word of God said regarding the fundamentals of marriage. And as I argued with Him night after night and day after day and asked for confirmation after confirmation, He gave me those confirmations. I read from Genesis to Revelation and found confirmation in every book of Scripture. He sent people across my path. He led me to buy books. He confirmed it and He confirmed it until He confirmed it until finally I had to say, Father, I accept the truth. And that was the first of a number of major paradigm shifts that I was required to make, as I had to choose between putting the Word of God first in my life or compromising with the ways of the world and therefore the ways of Satan. In the process, I was persecuted. I lost my business. I lost my wife. I lost custody of my children. The truth that I bring you today is a truth that has cost dearly, but it is a truth that truly is a pearl of great price. And I urge you to receive this truth for what it is, a pearl of infinite price, of infinite value. It is a pearl which is one of the pearls that Jesus died for. It is one of the pearls that is absolutely paramount in preparing the bride of Christ for the soon coming King. The Lord has said to me, the church cannot be ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb until the church understands how marriage was intended to be. A bride in which 70% of believers are divorced and remarried is not fit for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. She must be healed. She must be restored. She must be cleansed of her unrighteousness. Jesus is returning for a bride without spot or blemish. And one of the biggest spots and blemishes on the bride of Christ right now is the level of divorce and putting away, adultery and fornication. So I urge you to listen diligently and work systematically through this series of tapes and put into practice what you find here in order that you may serve the Lord your God effectively in this age, that you may not be found to be an unprofitable servant on the day of judgment, that you may be found to be a sheep and not a goat, wheat and not tares, a wise virgin and not a foolish virgin, a faithful servant and not a worker of iniquity, that you may not find on the day of judgment that you have failed your Savior. And as I was putting all this together and preparing, and as I've been through the Scriptures time and time again, I'm constantly confronted with some truths which are immensely painful to Jesus, to His Father, and to the Holy Spirit, and which are immensely painful to anybody who will open their hearts to feel Jesus' heart on the matter. I refer you first of all to Malachi chapter 2 verses 14 to 16. Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. for the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, or divorce. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Matthew 19:8-9, he, that's Jesus, saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away, that's divorce, your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So we see not only is the putting away of a woman for no cause adultery, we see that those who commit that sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. And as I've gone down this journey, the Lord has repeatedly brought me into sharp confrontation with his scriptures. On more than one occasion, when I've wanted to walk away from this truth, when I've wanted to turn from the persecution and the condemnation, he's brought me up sharp with scripture. One of them, which he gave to me in an instance where I was debating whether to prepare a document, which is one of the many on which this teaching is based, he took me to Mark 7:6-9. He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. And we see very clearly, and you will see, I've seen very clearly, in this teaching, in this series, that almost everything that is taught by the church today with regard to marriage is subject to the judgment in that passage of scripture. It is the traditions of men, and it nullifies the commandments of God in virtually every conceivable area of marriage. Again, another scripture, Matthew 7:3-5. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. If 70% of the Church of Jesus Christ is divorced, how do people presume to continue to counsel newly married people in the way that they have counseled before those whose marriage has failed? As I wrestled with these truths, my marriage of 25 years in the sight of God failed, as God showed me that my wife had been treacherously betraying me for our entire relationship. And yet, I'd been for endless counseling. I'd put into practice everything that I found to do that the counselors gave me. And yet eventually, my wife lost her salvation, blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ turned his back on her and walked away to leave her to go to hell. Recently, I was ministering to another man who had a similar experience. The Lord Jesus appeared to him in a vision and showed him a rotting corpse in his bed. His wife had been spiritually dead for years. And I would say to you, as you listen to these tapes, if something rises up at some of what has to be said in these tapes, please take authority over it. Until you have seen the woman you have loved for 25 years turn and go to hell with no turning back, and you've lost custody of your children to that woman, you cannot comprehend the magnitude of the spiritual turmoil and destruction that is taking place in marriage on the earth today. So I urge you, whenever you find yourself confronted with truths in these teachings which are hard to swallow, please put aside your offense. An offense is a crime, it's a sin. We're not called to get offended with one another, we're called to love one another. When offense rises up, there's something wrong. Put it aside. And please, listen carefully, lest you too find yourself in a place of judgment. Another scripture. James 3, 1 and 2. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. We know only too well that only Jesus is the perfect man. So we will all make mistakes. It is not a sin to discover that you've made a mistake. It is a sin to refuse to repent of that mistake. There is much in this series of teachings which is almost certainly going to require you to admit that you've made mistakes. I urge you, before all things, fear God and fear His judgments. This morning, as the Lord was tying together a whole series of parallel activities that have been going on in my life for some time, and putting the final, giving me the final picture of the series of teachings and how they should be assembled, He took me to John chapter 9. And I want to read that entire chapter to you, because it contains a fundamentally important principle to be applied in understanding what follows. Now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth, and His disciples asked Him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When He had said these things, He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And He said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes. He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, Give God the glory, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he's from. The man answered and said to them, Why? This is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, Are we blind also? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, We see. Therefore, your sin remains. I urge you to consider carefully the implication of this and the previous passages of Scripture. The men who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ were men who were highly knowledgeable in the Word of God. They were urgently seeking the coming of Messiah. But they had their traditions, their preconceived notions of how God was and how he would act, so firmly entrenched that even in this example, they could not, would not accept the Lord of glory. We're in an age where Jesus is moving on this earth. And again, many who claim to see are rejecting him. No more, in no other area, is this as pronounced as it is in the area of marriage. We have no option, if we fear God, but to recognize that for there to be 70% divorce in the body of Christ, there is something terribly, terribly, terribly wrong. And therefore we dare not hold on to any tradition, any preconceived notions, any doctrine of man. We must return to the living Word of God, to Jesus himself, no matter how much Satan persecutes us. And in parallel with putting this whole series together, the Lord has been opening my eyes with regard to the scriptures pertaining to the end of the age. And perhaps the most succinct summary of that is contained in Matthew 24, 29 and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. There can be absolutely no doubt that the church must go through tribulation first. in question is purely the timing. And it's not my intention to give an in-depth declaration of the Word of God on the subject. However, I've been impressed to include as the first set of 11 types in this series. A series of types recorded at the meetings of Foundation for Living Christian Fellowship in Pretoria, South Africa, going back to the beginning of October this year, when the Lord suddenly told me and my wife to move and join ourselves to that congregation until the end of the year. And in that series of teachings, He took that congregation, which is a small group of mature believers, many have been in the faith for 30, 40, 50 years, down a road of strong teaching to show us very clearly that the church was already in tribulation and that much greater tribulation was at hand, to show us clearly that Jesus ushered in a spiritual covenant and that we should cease looking with the eyes, our natural eyes, stop looking at the things which are seen and look to what was happening in the spirit realm, to see that there was indeed great tribulation on the earth and that even greater tribulation was to follow, to see that judgment is at the very door. And accordingly, in this series entitled God's Plan for Healing Marriage in the Seventh Millennium, the first collection of types is a series of types from FFL. They're not all the teachings that have been given in that period, but they are a sequence which God led me to put together for that congregation under the title The Coming Tribulation. And I would encourage you, before you go too far into the teachings on marriage, to listen attentively to what the Spirit of God is saying, to the prophetic words in a number of the associated with a number of the messages, and understand that there is no more time to put off doing what God has called you to do, to put off drawing close to Him. People are dying in the Spirit like flies right now. We just can't see it. The level of spiritual persecution and turmoil is intensifying, certainly for those who are truly seeking to serve God. The level of backsliding and falling away is escalating in alarming proportions, according to all that I speak to. There is no more time. Tribulation is at the very door. We have been in tribulation, but the tribulation that is to come is far beyond anything that we have been anticipating, but it is in the spirit realm. Yes, there may be concentration camps. Yes, there may be plans to eliminate all but 500 million people on this earth, but none of those are what Scripture is talking about. I've seen this clearly only for the last week or so, but I say to you now with profound conviction, do not look to the things that are seen. Ask God to open the eyes of your spirit to see what is going on in the spirit realm and see the massive, massive battle that is taking place and claiming the lives of, maybe even at this stage, millions of people who've called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A further scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, 10 and 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Do you know the terror of the Lord? do you fear appearing before the judgment seat of Christ? Or are you complacent? The judgment is an awesome thing. Few will emerge unscathed. Most will find that they have been unprofitable servants, and at best, only they will be saved, their works having been found to be of straw and stubble and consumed by fire. I urge you to listen diligently to the teachings that follow. 1 Peter 4:16 to 19. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good, as to a faithful Creator. My friends, judgment has begun in the house of God, and his house must be fully and completely judged before he will judge the world. We must be dealt with in all our sin and all our iniquity before the wrath of God is poured out on those who do not have the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not allow those who would tell you that rapture will precede tribulation to mislead you. We are in tribulation. There will be no rising up of believers to meet the Lord in the air until the church has been judged and refined by fire and prepared to be a spotless bride for the Lamb of God, and until the world has been judged. Matthew 12:35-37. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We have to examine our words. We have to ensure that our words are profitable and productive. And we have to ensure that what is being taught regarding marriage is according to the Word of God. I say again, most of what you will find in these teachings, which is solidly based on Scripture, will reveal to you the magnitude of the errors in the church with regard to what Scripture says in the subject of marriage. To return to judgment, Matthew 10:29-34. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not therefore fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. That's Jesus speaking. Understand that if not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from our Father's will, then not one hair of your head will be harmed. You will not suffer illness, you will not suffer financial loss, you will not suffer divorce. You will not suffer anything apart from your Father's will. I'm not talking fatalism, I'm talking judgment. As the second set of tapes in this series is a series that I produced about a year ago entitled Judgment in This Life, which goes in detail into the manifestations of judgment in this life, how to diagnose them, and in broad terms, how to respond to them, how to turn from your sin to bring an end to judgment. And like the series on the coming tribulation, these are presented in order to provide a solid scriptural and spiritual context to the teaching in marriage. You do not necessarily have to listen to all the tapes on tribulation and all the tapes on judgment before you start listening to the tape series on marriage. But I would encourage you to consider seriously doing that. If you have a deep and settled assurance of the reality of judgment in this life and the reality of tribulation, which is the manifestation of judgment in this life, and a settled and reverent certainty that you can no longer afford sin in your life, you will find it far easier to accept what is contained in this series on marriage. Let us understand briefly the principles that are contained in the series on judgment from the perspective of how do we experience tribulation, how do we experience judgment. How is it that people get sick and don't get healed? How is it that people lose loved ones? How is it that Christians are bankrupted and cannot recover financially despite faith in the promises? The answer to all of these things is judgment. The answer to all of these things is sin. John 10:9-11. Jesus speaking, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. We know, we understand, Satan comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. So if there's killing, stealing and destroying going on in your life, and I'm not necessarily talking physically, but also spiritually. But if you're financially destitute, if you're in ill health and can't get healed, then Satan is to blame. Satan is doing something. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Satan looks for the people he may devour. That is a permissive sense. In other words, he can devour nobody unless he is given permission. So we're told to resist him. And we resist Satan by dealing with the things in our lives which give him a legal right to attack us. Why do I say that? 1 John 2:1-4. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We dare not say we love God and continue to preach heresy in the area of marriage or any other area. Recognize the role of an advocate in a court of law. The advocate pleads the case on behalf of his customer, his client, seeking minimization of sentence or a judgment of not guilty. Jesus does the same thing. He stands before the throne of God the Father, or rather he's seated at the right hand of God the Father as our advocate, pleading our case. And where we are young and inexperienced in the faith, he extends grace. He asks for grace. He asks for the sin to be covered by the blood. But as we grow older and more mature in Christ, if we do not actively and personally bring our sin to the cross, confess it, repent of it, and turn around from it and receive forgiveness, Jesus cannot continue to release us from the consequence of our sins. Our advocate cannot plead for clemency when we've been before the court on the same charge previously and been granted reprieve. Hebrews 12:22-25. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Again, we see Jesus, the mediator, the advocate, pleading on our behalf. God the Father is a righteous judge. He abhors sin. He must judge us. In the book of Revelation, we read that Satan is before the throne of God, night and day, accusing the brethren. What does he do? Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Satan is the prosecutor. Satan looks for sin in our life, and he takes that sin to the courtroom of heaven, and he requests, nay, he demands sentence for every sin. And in the process, Satan sends out his demons to trigger us into more sin. But if not a sparrow falls to the ground, save it be the Father's will, know this, Satan cannot attack you or kill, steal, and destroy in your life more than the Father permits, and the Father will not permit more than your sin allows. Job 1:6-12. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered, and the Lord said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So there we see Satan in the throne room of God. We see that he has been roaming around. We see that he comes. And we see that God says that Job is in his power. How come Job is in his power? Job 3:25. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. So we see that Job was walking in fear, not faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is faith in the devil. And earlier we read in Job that Job offered sacrifices in case his sons had sinned, not because they had sinned. He offered sacrifices in fear, not in faith. Job chapter 29, the whole chapter, I just read a few verses from 18-23. Then I said, this is Job speaking, I shall die in my nest and multiply my days as the sand. My root is spread out to the waters, and the dew lies all night on my branch. My glory is fresh within me, and my bow is renewed in my hand. Men listened to me and waited, and kept silence for my counsel. After my words they did not speak again, and my speech settled on them as dew. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the spring rain. And the whole of chapter 9 is Job boasting about how esteemed he was, how wise he was. And we see in the middle of those verses that I just read his pronouncement about the manner in which he would die in his nest, multiplying his days as the sand. total presumption, total pride. And God says that he resists the proud. So out of that passage we see that judgment comes upon believers because of sin in their lives. And the second set of tapes in this series, the tapes on judgment in this life, provide a fairly comprehensive analysis based on my own experience of saying, "Why, Lord?" of how Satan secures judgments against us and what we can do in broad terms to avoid those judgments. I would urge you to listen firstly to the set of tapes on the coming tribulation, the first part of the first volume of this set, volume zero, and then to the set of tapes on judgment in this life, as the Lord leads. But please be sure that it is the Lord leading. You might want to start listening to the marriage series in parallel with this, but based on the fact that this is profoundly what I believe God has shown me, and it's profoundly the manner in which he's taken me through this journey myself, I urge you to listen to these tapes in sequence. The third set of tapes is volume one in the marriage series, which is entitled The Scriptural Definition of Marriage, Divorce and Adultery. And in this collection of 20 tapes, there is a comprehensive scriptural analysis of all the doctrines relating to marriage. It is a rigorous analysis and leaves no room for doubt. Assured that I do not make any statements in that teaching of any significance, save that I have first been through an extremely rigorous process of trial whereby the Lord has shown me of the veracity and the truth of what is declared in those teachings. I'm not talking about days or weeks or even months, I'm talking about years. All the fundamentals contained in those teachings have been known to me for several years. They've been documented by me. They've been tested in practice. They've been debated with others amongst much persecution. And I declare to you before the throne of God today that they are truth before God. I urge you, therefore, to listen attentively to the content of those 20 tapes. And if you find things which are hard, to examine your heart and to go before the throne of God and ask him to confirm what is there. The second volume of the marriage teachings, entitled Towards Heaven on Earth in Marriage, is a set of 23 tapes in which God paints the most awesome picture for marriage as a holy and sacred institution on earth, a rich shadow and type of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, a fundamentally important requirement for the bride of Christ to be prepared. Something that sums up the entire Christian walk and the entire Christian way. Something that requires holiness and sanctification if it is truly to be the institution God intended it to be. Something that is both awesome and beautiful and wonderful at the same time. And in those tapes he has taken us on the most wonderful journey, bringing teachings from a wide variety of different sources. Prominent men and women of God around this world, whose teachings he brought together, some of whom he gave me four or five years ago, assembled to paint a wonderful picture of what God intended marriage to be, and the spiritual tools and techniques and methods that he has provided for us to get there. This set of tapes also draws together various things from my experience as an engineer and management consultant, particularly in the areas of the management of change. And collectively, these tapes contain most of what you need to know in order to get even the most destitute marriage healed, restored, and brought to the place of being heaven on earth. Volume 3 of the marriage series is entitled Application of the Marriage Teachings. It's a compendium of tapes dealing with a variety of subjects, ranging from who are you married to sanctifying your marriage, to recovering from divorce, adultery, rape, etc., and various other topics, all of which are necessary to build on the foundation laid in the first two series of teachings on marriage. The set of 12 tapes ties together everything that is contained in all the tapes preceding it. The final set of tapes in this series is entitled The Ministry of Deliverance. It is a series of tapes produced by a lady by the name of Carol Orfer, who has a ministry in the area of deliverance and whose tapes are distributed at cost to those who require them, and I've taken the liberty of including them here because I truly believe they're amongst the most anointed messages in the area of deliverance that I've encountered. And without that knowledge, resolving many of the things which give rise to the failure of marriages is at best problematic, at worst impossible. And so the Lord has impressed on me to incorporate, as the last set of tapes in this series, the 15 tapes of Carol's teaching on deliverance. We also have copies of her manual available to those who might need it in terms of the diagrams, etc. Recognizing that the ministry of deliverance is a ministry of great spiritual danger for those who do not know what they're doing, and I refer you to the seven sons of Sceva who were beaten up when trying to exorcise a man in the name of Jesus without having a revelation of their authority in Christ. But if you have a revelation of your authority in Christ, if you are aware of what the Word of God says, but you lack the basic information to effectively minister deliverance to yourself or your spouse or your family, these tapes contain that information. It's information to be used carefully as led by the Spirit of God, but they are a powerful set of tapes. Taken together with the other tapes in this series, I truly believe that the Lord has provided every one of us with a complete and compact set of knowledge for the healing of marriage. If you listen to this entire set of tapes, I have no doubt that you will find that you need to listen to them repeatedly over several years, progressively putting into practice more and more of what you learn. We have learned much just as we have put together these tapes, and we have seen a major blessing in our own marriage. And even so, as I listen to the tapes from time to time, as I've been putting together and assembling this entire set, I keep finding truths that I'm not yet fully walking in my own life. I have no doubt that I need to listen to these tapes repeatedly to come to the place where I know God has purposed for us to be, which is heaven on earth in our marriage. I have no doubt it will take some years before we are walking fully in this, and I have no doubt that it will be a lifetime before we come to the fullness of the stature of the man Jesus Christ. But I have absolute assurance that if anybody listening to these tapes is diligent and works systematically through them, they will experience a miracle in even the most difficult marriage. You must understand the context of judgment. You must understand the context of the requirement to overcome in this life. You must understand the context that God is bringing revival to this world, and that a fundamental requirement for revival is a revival in marriage. You must understand the absolute paramount significance of unity in the body of Christ. John 17:20-21, Jesus speaking, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. The first step to that is for perfect unity and harmony to prevail in Christian marriages. Then the world will begin to believe that God sent Jesus. And as we learn and apply the lessons in marriage to the body of Christ, to tear down the walls of division between denominations and congregations, we will see the day when believers in this earth will do the works that Jesus did and greater works, because they are dwelling in unity. Satan hates marriage because he knows that man and woman, fully united with the full magnitude of the one flesh bond, are an unstoppable spiritual entity, and that a congregation of such men and women is a spiritual force to be reckoned with that will rock the very gates of hell. I challenge you today, lay down your life for the truth regarding marriage. Go all out for Jesus Christ to learn what he has to teach you about marriage. It will change your life, your children's lives, and change the world. Having said all this, you must work systematically. The set of tapes will challenge virtually everything you have ever been taught or believed about marriage. If you jump around, if you do as somebody did the other day and went straight to tape number 8 of the first part of marriage, which is entitled Tying Up Some Loose Ends, Some Controversial Points, you will almost certainly be offended because you will not have the scriptural context and the background to what is contained in that tape. The same applies to many other tapes in the series. God has taken us on a journey. He has painted a wonderful panorama. He has charted a course through a jungle of demonic infestation. But there is no shortcut. Please stick to the road. Work through the tapes systematically, and you will be blessed. You may find that there are some aspects in some of the tapes that are hard to accept. And while I would be the first to acknowledge the possibility that there is leaven in what I've done, I say again that none of the more significant truths that are contained in these tapes are placed there lightly. They're placed there with the absolute, total, 100% unshakable conviction that they are the Word and the will of God. So if you find something that you're battling to accept, may I suggest to you that you just pass it by. Put it on the shelf and ask God to speak to you about it, and either to confirm it or deny it, and move on to the next tape. There are an enormous diversity of subjects addressed, and each of them is addressed iteratively in ever-increasing detail. Therefore, if one of them offends you, just put it aside and carry on with the rest of the tapes in this series. There are teachings from various ministries, included particularly in Volume 2 of the Marriage Series, and clearly the first series on the coming tribulation and the series on deliverance. I need to say to you that the inclusion of these teachings does not in any way signify that the people concerned have been consulted about the content of the rest of the tapes, and therefore I do not hold an opinion of whether they confirm or deny those teachings, and their inclusion does not represent in any way in natural terms an endorsement of me or my ministry or the content of the tapes. That is not to say that I believe that if they were to listen to these tapes systematically, they will not come to a similar revelation of the truth. Just that at this moment in time, they have not had that opportunity, because that is not the way that God has led me. And I need to stress to you that the tapes are contained, and these messages from other ministries are contained, because I truly believe, and I've been led by the Spirit of God to include them, that it is the will of God that those messages have been spoken through anointed men and women of God by the leading of the Spirit of God. Again, there are elements of leaven in every message. We are all human. Only Jesus Christ is perfect. We all make mistakes. We all slip up. We all get ideas at the last minute which add or take away a little bit from what the Spirit of God is saying. Do not get distracted by those things. There are elements in some of those teachings which are not at idem with what I've taught. But that is not the point. The heart of what God is saying through those people, the heart of what He's saying through me, is all part of a big picture, which we will only fully comprehend and understand when we have shredded off this mortal coil and we're dwelling for eternity, God willing, with Jesus. I must stress that the Word of God is free. It is a free gift. And therefore, it is very clear to me that it is not for any human being to restrict the distribution of His Word, nor is it for them to charge and make a profit for the distribution of His Word. We distribute these tapes and teachings at no cost, funds permitting, save only that where it's necessary to post the large sets of tapes internationally, we would ask for a donation to cover postage if you can afford it. We have arranged distribution in various countries to facilitate that. And the teachings are available on data CD, suitable for playing in any multimedia computer which has a sound card and speakers, in order to make it more cost effective and affordable to supply the whole set of teachings to those who require them. I would encourage you, if you feel that it would be useful, to make copies of some or all of the tapes or CDs and pass them on to others. Please feel free to do so. You do not need to approach me for permission. By the same token, if you want to use some or the entire series of teachings in any public forum to the glory of God, you're welcome to do so. All I ask is that you understand that if you misrepresent or twist or distort or selectively detrimentally edit the contents of these teachings, you will be judged for your actions on the day of judgment. I would also mention that these teachings were produced against a very tight deadline as a consequence of my own disobedience, and I confess that that is sin, and I repent of it, and I have repented of it. And by the same token, I confess that I was not as sanctified as I would have liked, and consequently, I was under continual demonic attack as I was preparing these messages. You will find the odd tape where there's quite a lot of yawning, slurring, and even perhaps occasional transposing of words as a consequence of my failure to sanctify myself sufficiently. And I confess again that that is sin, and I repent of it. And I continue to seek the Lord's guidance to come to a place where these things are less material. But I say that in this context, that I've been through a great journey of sanctification in the last few years to come to a place. We're notwithstanding the fact that I have these attacks, I believe that I speak from a position of some degree of sanctification. And I remind you that at the end of his life, Paul the Apostle, the greatest perhaps apostle that has ever lived, referred to himself as the chief of all sinners at the end of his life. It's also mentioned that in the process of recording these tapes, I was learning about the technology. It's the first time I've ever produced tapes of this nature, or in fact done anything in a formal recording environment. And I started out with relatively limited equipment, and as the thing unfolded, the Lord provided more sophisticated equipment and taught me how to use the tools more effectively. But nevertheless, these tapes have not been produced in a recording studio with studio quality equipment. And again, please accept, the intention here is not to produce some high-flying, glitzy, professional presentation. It is to share from my heart what God has been teaching me over the last 5-6 years, in order that you may be blessed and your marriage healed, and that you may share these truths with others, that they may be blessed and their marriages healed. And if you feel that you are more competent to record what is contained in these tapes, you are by all means at liberty to do so. God willing, these tapes will shortly be available, as I've said before, on a series of data CDs in MP3 digital audio format, together with some supplementary documents, plus labels and audio cassette and CD case covers, to make it easy for you to make copies of these teachings. And as I say, you're free to reproduce and duplicate this set of tapes or the CDs as led by the Lord. I appeal to you to distribute the entire set, not selective tapes. At the same time, it's not necessary to acknowledge the source if you don't want to. The copyright is not mine, it is the Lord's. I hope shortly also to have a website with all of these teachings on a compressed audio format suitable for downloading or emailing. And you can contact me at james@endtimeissues.org.za for more information on that. That's james@end-time-issues.org.za. The tapes can be obtained locally in South Africa from End Time Issue Ministries, P.O. Box 898, Rand Park Ridge 2156, Republic of South Africa, or by contacting me on the email address I've just given you, or telephonically, international dialing code in most countries 0027. Local code 11, telephone 791-2327, fax 0027-11791-5004. And you're welcome to contact me and refer others to me. My name's James Robertson, by the way. For copies of these tapes and other teaching materials, I've also arranged provisionally for distribution of these materials in other centres around the world. In the United States, you can contact Scott Ledbetter, that's L-E-D-B-E-T-T-E-R, at Remnant Sounds Ministries, 2500 Louis Henner Boulevard, apartment 3203, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, United States of America. That's 2500 Louis Henner, H-E-N-N-A Boulevard, apartment 3203, Round Rock, TX, Texas, 78664. Email scott_ledbetter@hotmail.com, scott_ledbetter@hotmail.com. In the United Kingdom, you can contact Isaac Aluchia, A-L-U-O-C-H-I-E-R, P.O. Box 22855, London, NW9 8ZF, United Kingdom. His telephone number, his cellular mobile is country code +++44, code in the United Kingdom 956 187-232. His email address, servantsofyahweh@cwcom.net, servantsofyahweh@cwcom.net. Any of these ministries should be able to help you with the teachings on CD, and some of them may be able to help you with them with the full set of audio tapes. If you have any difficulty, please contact me as indicated previously. As mentioned before, we don't charge for the supply of these materials. The other ministries may charge as they feel led by the Lord and as they deem appropriate. Should the Lord lead you to sow into this ministry, the ministry is End Time Issues, and our bank account is called End Time Issue Ministries. The account number is 042-752-7805 at the Standard Bank of South Africa, Randburg Branch, branch code 018005. I say again, account number 042-752-7805, branch code 018005. In some cases, the branch code may need to be reflected as an 8-digit number, in which case it is 018005 as before, followed by 90. This depends on the bank at which the deposit is being made. That completes the preparatory introduction for this series of teachings. I pray that you will enjoy and be blessed as much as I have what God has in store for you in the tapes that follow. I appreciate it is an extremely long and seemingly onerous journey, but if you recognize that marriage is the estate or institution which perhaps more than virtually anything else in your life influences how you overcome in this life and how you serve God, and in fact how you find life to be, I'm sure that you will appreciate that some degree of effort is required to experience heaven on earth in marriage. So welcome, and I really hope that you enjoy what to me is the most wonderful and beautiful picture that the Lord God Almighty has painted concerning marriage, the way He intends it to be, and how every one of us can have our marriages healed in this age. Father, I pray that all that has been said on this tape and all that is said in this entire series that is according to Your Word and according to Your will find deep root in the hearts of the hearers, will be engrafted by Your Spirit, watered and nourished and fed by Your Spirit, and will grow forth and produce abundant fruit. And Father, I ask likewise that anything that may be contained in this tape or any other tape that is not according to Your Word, not according to Your will be blown away by Your Spirit and find no root in the hearts of the hearers, in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that You will send Your mighty warring angels to encamp around those who would listen to these tapes, to guide them, to strengthen them, to give them the fortitude by Your Spirit to press on and to listen to this entire series, no matter what the price, that they may come to the place of experiencing Your heaven on earth in their marriages. I thank You, Father, that their marriages are healed and restored, that they walk in the fullness of the anointing and the calling that You have for them. And I thank You for blessing them and prospering them in every way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, Savior of the world. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to to shine upon you. Amen. This is the introduction to the series of tapes from Foundation for Living Christian Fellowship entitled The Coming Tribulation. The series of teachings contained in the set trace a period of time from the 1st of October the year 2000 to the 31st of December the year 2000, in terms of which God progressively revealed to the congregation the situation in the world today, made a very definite call for holiness and sanctification, and through the prophetic word in particular made it very clear to us that the time of tribulation was at hand, that judgment was to be expected, and that we should prepare our hearts for that judgment and seek God as never before. It was also established that there were strong indications to believe that the mark of the beast was a spiritual rather than a natural mark. This series is included at the beginning of the series, God's Plan for Healing Marriage in the Seventh Millennium, in order to provide a more detailed spiritual context for this entire set of teachings as something which God has provided to bring the Bride of Christ to a place of holiness and sanctification for the return of the Bridegroom. I pray that you will find these teachings an encouragement in Jesus' name. This is the introduction to the set of tapes entitled Judgment in This Life, incorporated into the suite of tapes God's Plan for Healing Marriage in the Seventh Millennium. The set of tapes were recorded by this ministry about a year ago as an initial set of 10 tapes, with two additional tapes added recently, derived from the developments at the Foundation for Living Ministry. The basic content of this set of tapes is a comprehensive analysis of the scriptural basis whereby Satan gains footholds to attack us in this life, and a catalogue of aspects which open the door for Satan to gain legal right in the judgment hall of God to kill, steal and destroy in our lives, in the process of accusing the brethren and executing judgment against us for our sin. It's incorporated into the suite of tapes at this point in order to lay a solid foundation for the teachings in marriage, to assist listeners to understand how absolutely essential it is for a Christian to walk in holiness and sanctification, to walk in quick repentance, to walk in the love of God and put the word of God first and the commandments of God first in one's life, in order to minimize the extent to which Satan is able to use legal means to attack us. And with that background and with the revelation of the coming tribulation out of the first set of tapes, it is my hope that you will be in a place, having listened to this series on judgment, to have a good understanding of how the devil attacks you, and then as you walk down the road of coming to greater and greater revelation in the area of marriage, seeing your marriage healed, you will be able to better understand what the devil is doing to you, understanding that since marriage is such a fundamentally important truth, and that Satan has fought so hard for so long to steal marriage the way God intended it to be, he's not going to give up on your marriage without a fight. He's going to use whatever legal means he can to distract you from putting these teachings into effect and from coming into a place where there really is heaven on earth in your marriage. Particularly if he's had you in a situation where your marriage has been less than fulfilling, where there's perhaps been talk of divorce, where there's been regular argument, etc. Satan knows that as you start walking through these teachings, his hold on your life is going to be substantially diminished, and therefore he's likely to pull out all the stops to seek to prevent that from happening. with this teachings behind you and dealing with obvious sin that the Holy Spirit reveals to you as you listen to this series of tapes, I truly believe that the Lord will enable you to stand strong with the onslaught that Satan will bring against you. And equally, as we move into great tribulation, the sin in our lives is the basis whereby Satan is going to obtain judgment against us and kill, steal, destroy, persecute, do whatever he can find to do against those who truly are committed to serving the Lord God. So with that background, I encourage you to listen to the series on judgment before moving into the series on marriage, purely in order to lay a solid foundation. This is not to say that you could not start listening to the series on marriage concurrently with or before the series on judgment, but I was very impressed with the Lord this morning as I was finalizing this pack of teaching tapes that it should be in this sequence, that people should lay a foundation of a revelation of the coming tribulation and the tribulation that's at hand, a revelation of judgment, which is the mechanism through which Satan brings tribulation, and then from there going into dealing with the issues of marriage, understanding the full significance and the impact of adopting unscriptural practices in the area of marriage and other areas of our lives. So with that in mind, I pray that you will be blessed and benefit from what is contained in this particular subset of the teaching tapes. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. This is the introduction to Volume 1 of the marriage teachings in the suite of tapes entitled God's Plan for Healing Marriage in the Seventh Millennium. Volume 1 of the 3-volume set on marriage is entitled The Scriptural Definition of Marriage, Divorce and Adultery, and it provides a 20-teaching or 20-tape set of a comprehensive analysis of what the scriptures have to say about the subjects relating to marriage, divorce, adultery, and related topics. In total, the suite provides a solid and robust and comprehensive scriptural basis for understanding what the Word of God truly says about marriage, for understanding how God intended marriage to be, understanding how God intended marriage to work. It provides a robust statement that God created marriage to work between any man and any woman, provided they were both believers. It provides a basis for understanding the power and the potential of marriage as God created it to be. And it provides the foundation which the rest of this teaching is built up. Volume 2 in the marriage suite, which is entitled Towards Heaven on Earth in Marriage, provides a whole lot of scriptural and spiritual principles with regard to bringing about the necessary change to experience heaven on earth in your marriage, to have your marriage healed no matter what the state of that marriage may be. Volume 3 in this series, entitled Practical Application of the Marriage Teachings, goes into a variety of specific aspects required to put these teachings into practice in the lives of believers, no matter what the background from which their lives and their marriages have come. This set of tapes, as I say, is a comprehensive scriptural, if you like, doctrinal analysis of what the Word of God really says. I need to stress to you, it contains much that you're going to find controversial, much that's going to challenge you. It's taken me many years to get to a place where I can come before you confidently and say this is what the Word of God says. I come to you in the capacity of an apostle and prophet of God, and I appeal to you to listen carefully and attentively to what is contained in these tapes. The bulk of the message is given by the Spirit of God, recognizing our humanity and our frailty and our propensity to miss it from time to time. There may be the odd bits of leaven, and I ask you to forgive me for that. But at the same time, I declare before the throne of God right now that the bulk of what is contained in these teachings, everything that is of substance, has been subject to the most careful and rigorous scrutiny, measurement against the Word of God, debate and argument with the Spirit of God, asking for confirmation and confirmation, until I can come before you to say, and say, thus saith the Lord, these are the factors that are giving rise to the 70% odd failure rate of marriages in the Christian church today, that are giving rise to fornication and adultery on a global scale of a magnitude that is beyond comprehension as one comes to grasp it and understand it. And therefore I urge you to listen attentively to what the Spirit of God is saying through these tapes. At the same time, I must say to you, please, please, please follow the sequence of these tapes. Start at the beginning and go on to the end. Each tape builds on the foundation of the first tape, builds on the Word of God in such a way that, God willing, you will be able at each step of the way to accept the truths that are revealed as the teachings unfold. The teachings comprise a suite of iterative approaches to the truths which God is revealing. I have not seen the picture in the light that it's presented in these teachings. Before I did the teachings, they unfolded literally at the leading of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God on a daily basis over a period of about 3 months, where when I started these tapes and recorded the first one, I expected to record 6 tapes. That grew to 10 tapes, it grew to 20 tapes, it grew to 43 tapes, it grew to 55 tapes, and then it ended up with the supplementation of the various other tapes which make up the series at about 94-95 tapes. And only as this thing came to completion this very morning of the day that I'm recording this message on the 27th of December the year 2000, did I see fully how the Lord had pulled all of this together to provide a set of tapes which I have complete certainty provide the answer to just about anything that can be wrong with just about any marriage in the Christian faith. This set of tapes, even though it's a large number, represents God's plan for healing your marriage and making your marriage on heaven on earth, if you will choose to step out in faith, listen to these tapes diligently and systematically, and put into practice what is contained in them. You will get your miracle. But recognize that it's taken a long time for you to learn all the stuff that you've learned that has brought you to a place where your marriage is not necessarily the way God intended it to be. It's going to take some time and some effort to get it to the place where God did intend it to be. With that, I pray that you will be blessed and that you will find these tapes accomplish that which God has appointed for your life at this time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the introduction to Volume 2 of the marriage tapes in the suite of tapes, God's Plan for Healing of Marriage in the 7th Millennium. The second volume of marriage teachings concerned with Towards Heaven on Earth in Marriage. This set of teachings builds on the first set of marriage teachings, and I cannot stress strongly enough how important it is for you, first of all, to listen to the tapes in Volume 1 of the marriage series. And I would encourage you to have made sure that you listen to the tapes on the coming tribulation and the tapes on judgment in this life before you do that. Please, in going through Volume 2, work systematically. Start at the beginning and go on till you get to the end. As with the previous series, you will find much that is controversial and much which, if you do not approach this in the order that the Spirit of God gave it to me, is likely to offend you. As I mentioned before, the whole process that God has used in this is iteratively dealing and digging deeper and deeper into the truths of His Word, into the practical application of those truths, and in the process revealing more and more which has the potential to offend if you do not have the right foundation. So please walk the journey that the Lord has set out in this series of tapes. Volume 2 of the tapes that we're dealing with now comprises 23 teachings. It includes teachings from a variety of different ministries on issues such as faithfulness, the blood covenant, disciplining of flesh, etc., etc. And that was a combination of tapes which the Lord just led me to pull together as the teachings were unfolding, to assist to paint a wonderful tapestry of the beauty of what marriage was intended to be, the vision that God has for marriage and that He wants us to have for marriage, and how to get there. The spiritual principles and spiritual disciplines and scriptural principles that God has provided for us to get our marriages healed and to come to a place of heaven on earth in marriage, to deal with the issues of change. The set of tapes also draws on my experience as a management consultant in the areas of bringing about organizational change and some lessons and principles associated with there. And it draws on my entire life experience, things that God has been dealing with me on for a number of years. And as with the first series, I say to you with firm conviction, all the fundamental principles that are contained in these teachings, God has been revealing to me over a number of years. The finer points of how it all fits together, the finer points of how it's applied in practice, have only been revealed to me as I've been putting the tapes together. But the underlying core scriptural principles are things that I've been wrestling with and debating with God for a number of years. And I declare again, as with the first volume, this is given by the Spirit of God. Please receive it as that. In Jesus' name, amen.